Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
So we are starting this series, More Than Words. And we're talking about just how important and how powerful the Bible is in our life. You know, actually, the Bible, specifically the King James Version, is actually one of the most influential books on the English language. Many of us actually know scripture, and we don't even realize it. They're just sayings or slogans. I'm going to read a couple of them to you, but all of these actually come from the Bible. One is a broken heart, a cross to bear. Pride goes before the fall, a labor of love from strength to strength, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Fight the good fight by the skin of your teeth, or if you're here at the 2 p.m., it might be eat, drink, and be merry. But I want you guys to join in. I'm going to read the beginning of a couple more phrases, and I want to see if you guys can finish this statement. So the blind leading the
blind.
There we go. The apple of his
eye.
An eye for an eye, a
two for a
go the extra
mile.
You reap what you
sow.
A drop in the
bucket.
And the writing is
on the wall.
Look at that. We know more scripture than we even realize. Come on. Told you you'd come and get encouraged. But when we look at the King James Bible, just as we've seen, it helped shape language. Because there's a point in time where the most important book was the Word of God. And it's important for you and I that the most important book in our life is the Bible. In fact, when we actually look at the Bible, it's inaccurate to just say it's a book. You know, it is called the Holy Bible. And holy means to be set apart, to be divine, to be devoted. It is so much better than a book. You know, it's interesting. In the mid-1400s, Johannes Gutenberg created the printing press. And one of the first books that they mass-produced was the Bible. Because they were just of the belief and of the opinion that they needed to get the Word of God actually into people's hands. You know, it's interesting, if you look back, those first copies that were printed on the printing press, they cost 30 florins, which would be equivalent to 3 years' wages of the average worker. 3 years of wages. Could you imagine starting now and in March of 2016 having enough money to finally purchase a Bible? You know, so these are things that you and I, we can take for granted, and we can miss out on the value and on the depth of the Word of God. You know, most of us in here, maybe we don't have the app or not, but we're walking around with some type of Bible in our pocket, on our phone, any version for free. In 60 seconds from now, if you don't have it, you could have it. But we have to be careful that we don't allow the access that we have to the Bible to minimize its value. You know, sometimes when you and I get something for free, we think that it's cheap, but it's not. The Word of God is the most important thing. You know, a minute ago, I was talking about the Bible being holy, being a book that is set apart. In fact, in Scripture says that it is the very Word of God. You know, in John, in the first chapter of John, it paints this picture that the Word and God are one and the same. And so here we actually have God's Word. And so just as an illustration, I want you to imagine that this stage represents, if I put the Bible over here on this edge of the stage, as the most important book in our lives. Number one, sometimes we don't fully understand holy or how set apart it is because we're trying to figure out, well, what is second place? How close is second place. So if that is the Bible, that is the Word of God, that has the ability to transform, that scripture is just like God. And then here, I hold a little book by Debbie Willis. Does anybody know who Debbie Willis is? Of course not. It's Financial Basics by Debbie Willis. If this book is on this side of the stage. Bless your heart, Debbie. If that is a book that none of us have ever heard, and over there is the Bible that everybody in here has at least heard, or as we just went through, phrases that are in our culture, I now hold a different book. It is a national bestseller, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. Raise your hand if you've heard of this book. Most of us, right? If you haven't, you really should probably. If this book was an influential book in your life, in fact, I was just talking to somebody who's been doing ministry for years, and this has helped shape their life, helped shape their leadership. And this book is filled with powerful information that can impact our lives. But if we have Debbie Willis over there, and we have the Word of God over there, and somewhere in here we're trying to figure out what is the next most important book in our life, something like this that millions and millions of people have read, belongs right over here. Right next to Debbie and the Financial Basics. Because that isn't just a book. It is the Word of God. When I read a book over here, it can impact and encourage and strengthen my life. But when I open that book, I actually walk into the presence of God, the very one that created all knowledge. When I open that book, here I can get understanding, I can get good ideas, but over here, my life is absolutely transformed. The Bible is more than just words. It has the ability to absolutely change our life. I remember one of the first times I feel like I was in the presence of God. You know, I feel like another one of those moments was just a little bit ago as we were worshiping God together and just crying out, fill me up, God. But I remember one of the first times I originally moved to Los Angeles. I ran track at UCLA. And it was my sophomore. I got some people. There we go. Come on. Those people are smart. I moved here, was running track. It was my sophomore year, and I was in Terre Haute, Indiana. Not going back. No offense, Mike. But we were there, and we were there for pre-nationals. And so it was the day before. And my freshman year, I sat out. I had an injury. I had injured what was called my IT band. So your IT band runs from your hip down to your knee. If you've ever hurt your IT band, it ends up causing a ton of pain when you try and lift your leg. Notice if you're trying to run and your IT band hurts, that's going to be a problem. Is there anybody else here that's about as flexible as I am? Which means the floor is like another 8-9 inches. If you can't fully enjoy that any further, my hamstring might just pop. So I'm just going to stay there. So you can understand, I had mobility problems. I was not that flexible. Got over that injury, and now it's our sophomore year, and we're in Indiana pre-nationals. Day before the race, out of nowhere, my IT band flares up to the point where I can barely even walk. My coach, he didn't get injured much, so he was not big on compassion, so he didn't care. I remember waking up in the morning, getting ready to go to pre-nationals, and literally limping around. I remember falling on my knees and just saying, God, I need your power. I need your presence. I need your strength in my leg. And for the first time in my life, in a tangible and in a practical, but in a powerful way, I felt like God's presence was right there in that hotel room with me in Indiana. And just instantly, my IT band loosened up. And since then, I've never struggled with an injury in my IT band. Praise God, right? And so the thing is, when we get this out and we begin reading this, it's like being in the presence of God every single time. It's like having our life transformed. It's like getting that moment of encouragement, or it's getting that moment of healing. It's getting that feeling that even though everything doesn't feel like it's all right, everything is gonna be all right. It's that moment where a slogan of the best is yet to come goes from a bumper sticker to a reality because you're encountering God and he begins to transform your life. The Bible is more than just words. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 7, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. I love that. I love that the word of God actually prepares us. Maybe you're like me. One of the things I do not like being unprepared. You know, just that feeling where all of a sudden you're put on the spot, you're unprepared. It's like anxiety and stress and worry and it all bubbles up. The problem is many of us are living life unequipped and unprepared for everything that God has for us. And so we find that in the Bible as we begin to read, as it begins to transform our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Now, I don't know where you are in your faith. And imagine one of the things I love about Oasis is we have people that have been pursuing Jesus for as long as they can remember. And then we have people that are still in here trying to figure out where they are, why they're here, and how they got here, and everything in between. And so if you're new and you're still checking out this faith thing, I'm just glad that you're here and you are more than welcome. We love having you. But once we get down this journey a little bit, Scripture here is very clear that it is important that we are not ineffective or unproductive. In fact, it says that when we've been on this journey for a while, that if we don't know more about God's character, if we don't know more about his calling for us, if we don't know more of the word of God, it says that we basically have forgotten that he cleansed us from our sins to begin with. And so it is important that you and I take learning and knowing and understanding the Bible. It's got to be one of the primary focuses of our life. And this is challenging for us because culture doesn't value the Bible. It doesn't care. But if we're going to walk in God's purpose and God's plan, you and I as individuals, we have to learn to value the word of God above everything else. We need to use it to help determine the decisions that we make, the relationships that we have. We have to use it to sharpen and strengthen our life. But the truth is any point in time, whatever need, whatever obstacle you have, I love that, you know, Anthony was saying earlier, does anybody ever need to persevere, right? That's all of us. At any point in time, when you feel like you are at the edge, you're just one verse, one sentence out of the Bible from being back in the game. You're just one sentence from the Word of God from having breakthrough in your life. You're just one moment of sitting down and reading a chapter from understanding God's purpose and God's plan for your life. This is the most important thing we could ever do, is to know what the word of God says. I love in Psalm 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You know, so many times we want to hear what it is that God has for us, which is great. It's great to have that hunger and that thirst and that desire to know, God, what is it that you have for me in this season? But the most practical way that we get that is by reading the Word of God. It's by reading the Bible. You know, one of the things that I love about the Bible, and in Hebrews 4, it just talks about the Bible being living and active. So one of the things that I love about Scripture is we can all take out the NIV and we can all read the written word, and it can be the same. You can look at some different versions and it can be adjusted a little bit, but it's the same written word. But what I love is that when you and I actually take the time and we say, God, speak to me through the Bible, it goes from this written word, from this sentence, to then it becomes a personal world. It becomes like a revelation. It becomes something that encourages and inspires our own faith. You know, if you've read through the Bible or read different passages, it means different things at different seasons of life. And that's because the Bible is living and active. It's the Word of God. It is the very presence and the very power of God Almighty, the name that is above every name when we read the Word of God. And so I love the Word of God because it brings encouragement and it brings direction. You know, one of the things that I love about our God is that He hears our prayers and He answers them. He is so faithful. You know, there's something that happens to our prayers when we begin incorporating Scripture. Because one of the things that breaks my heart the most is when I'm down here and I have the opportunity to pray with people and I find out that in their mind, God is mad or punishing them. It's like, how are we going to go before God, the only one that can actually help us, if we think He's the one inflicting the pain? I don't know about you, but I don't run towards the people that cause me pain. I run away from them. But when we begin to read the Word of God, we actually find out God's intentions for us. We find out that He isn't mad at us. One of my favorite verses in Romans, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means while we didn't even care what He thought, didn't care what He said, He still loved us so much that He gave His own life. That's not the picture of a God that's mad and punishing us. And so when we begin to read the Bible, when we begin to use Scripture in our prayers, there's something powerful that happens. There's something powerful because we know that we're not just saying words, but that we're lining our lives up with God's plan. Now, I love in Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you may be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Raise your hand if you want to walk in God's perfect will for your life. Right? I know I do. That happens when I transform my thoughts into His thoughts. And one of the ways that happens, one of the key essential ways, is when we read Scripture. I want to show you guys a video. My son, Joshua, he's 4. He's going to be 5 here in just a minute. We sent him, he started junior kindergarten. Come on, little man. He comes home and tells me he's smarter than me now. So I just ask him to spell smart. I just got either categorized as a good dad or a bad dad. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. But he'd go to school and I'd be like, what are you learning? He'd be like, I learned about a whale or I learned about this or that. But one of the things that he learned at his school, keep in mind my son is 4, we're going to go ahead and see in this video. He's going to share with us 1 Corinthians 13. Let's check out this video.
1 Corinthians 13. No, I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge? Do I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but have not love? I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And do I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge? Do I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but have not love? A prophet me nothing. Love suffers long in this kind. Love does not envy. Love does not pride itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Does not provoke. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But when there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. But if there is knowledge, it is away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But then, when that which is perfect shall come, then when that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. Understood like a child, I felt like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish sins. For now we see in the mirror of memory, but then face to face. Now I know I'm
I'm a proud dad. I wish I could tell you that I taught him that, but I didn't. The school did. But it's this, here it is. He's playing swords. The other little guy was my son, Micah. He came in. He wanted to be a part of the party. But if a four-year-old can memorize a chapter of the Bible, it isn't about it being too hard. Right? One of my prayers was, God, when as a church we did the 21 days of prayer and fasting in January, one of my prayers for my sons was that they would have a hunger and a thirst for the Bible, and that they would inspire people not only in their at their age, their generation, but they would inspire older people as well. Then like 3 weeks later, he comes back and he memorizes the whole chapter. You know, I know a lot of scripture. I don't know a whole chapter yet. So my wife and I, we are learning all of chapter 1 of James just so I'm not put to shame by my four-year-old. But I just share that hopefully to encourage and to inspire you, but also to just say, as adults, we have to get rid of the excuses. Either that, or we just have to be aware that as long as we're holding on to the excuses, God's perfect will for our life will just be a fantasy. If we want it to become a reality, if we want it to become our day-to-day, we need to learn scripture. One of the other verses that my son Joshua has is in Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 6. It says, "Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We've taught this to Joshua and Micah because we want them to know that their courage, their strength, their boldness comes from an understanding that God is with them. You know, I shared a story that my son Micah was waking up in the middle of the night and he would cry and he'd be scared. And so we just taught him, we just pray over him before we put him to sleep and just taught him, "Micah, if you get scared, just say, 'Jesus, help me.'" You know, so in his little voice, he'd be like, "Jesus, help me." It's like some of us, that is such a simple statement, but it's powerful. It's powerful. And so let's be learning to take some of these things and actually apply them into our life. So when you're in work and things just are going crazy, it's just a simple but a genuine prayer of, "Jesus, help me." It's only a couple words, but you know because of the word of God that God is with you everywhere that you go. You know because you know the word of the God that he loves you, that you are a son or daughter of the King. You know that he has a purpose and a plan for your life. So it might be simple words, but you know that there is great power because of the name that you're calling on. One of the reasons I love this portion of scripture in Joshua is it is as the Israelites are getting ready to take the promised land. And so they were literally going into a physical fight. They were getting ready for war. Now, many of us, we've never been in that situation. But the truth is, every day you and I are in the middle of spiritual warfare, spiritual battles. There's an enemy that does not care about you. And the question is, are you ready for battle? Are you prepared? Are you equipped? Do you know what you're doing? Or are you unequipped? I want to show this picture from Captain America before getting all juiced up. And then let's go ahead and see the after. Look at that. Ladies, close your eyes. Nothing you wouldn't see at Santa Monica. We can take it off. It's making me uncomfortable. God, I thank you that I am still fearfully and wonderfully made, even next to that guy. But Matthew 4:4 says, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I wonder if sometimes it's easy for us physically to know when we're hungry. But many times, spiritually, we're only feeding our faith maybe once a week, maybe twice a month. Could you imagine how weak you would be physically if you only ate once a week? But many of us are only feeding our faith spiritually once a week. We look like the scrawny little guy about to go out into battle. It's no wonder we're getting jacked up. We're not equipped. We're not prepared. We're not trained through. And so hopefully at this point, if nothing else, I've at least elevated the value and the desire for you to learn and to read God's word. You're saying, all right, Chad, I get it. I need to read the Bible more. Thank you. I got that earlier. Now I actually want to show you how. So I'm going to spend the next little bit just showing you how. Because one of the main questions we get is, where do I start? What do I do? How do I do this? And so actually as a church, this month, we're going to be reading the Gospel of Luke. It talks about Jesus. It talks about his life. And it is a great way to learn about our faith. In fact, the book of Luke is actually the first book I ever read. And at the end of it, in a Bible study, was when somebody asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus, the Jesus I had just read about in my life. So the book of Luke is actually very meaningful to me. But as a church, that's what we're going to be going through, a chapter a day, Monday through Friday. And if you fall behind Saturday and Sunday, you can catch back up. But a chapter a day. And so actually what I want us to do is we're going to read a portion of scripture out of Matthew chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them out. Whether you have one like this or one on your phone, whatever it is, go ahead and get your Bible out. Matthew 14, we're going to read a portion of scripture where Jesus actually walks on water. Holler at me if you got your Bible out on Matthew 14. All right, a couple people. The rest of us are still getting there. Matthew 14. All right, verse 22. I'm going to read this. Follow along. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Bible series is coming out. It is a production bringing the Word of God to life, helping us with some of those visual aids, reminding us that these aren't just stories or words on a paper, but this is real life of real people. They're starting that Sunday night, so you guys can record that, do whatever you do on a TV so you can watch that later. But there's something powerful when we actually start to realize that the Bible isn't just words. It's not just some make-believe story, but it's the lives of real people. And so one of the things, you know, when you talk about, okay, Chad, I need to read the Bible, I get that, but how? How? I'm going to give you guys three questions that you can ask as you're reading. Because it's important that when you're reading, it's not just a story, but it actually comes off the pages and into your life. That you actually walk out with something that you've learned and that you can apply that day. And so one of the first questions we can ask is, what did it mean to the people that originally heard it? So important to ask and try and get context of what it is that you're reading. Because that'll help you translate what happened then to now. And so if we actually look at this portion of scripture, just before the disciples got on this boat was when Jesus fed 5,000 people. A couple fish, a couple pieces of bread, fed 5,000 people. I've seen how church people eat. A couple pieces of bread does not go very far. If you're like over here talking to your friend for a minute, you look back, food is gone. Gone. At the end of the food line, we ask people if they need to forgive anybody, and they usually say yes. So they just fed 5,000 people. I imagine the disciples were like on cloud nine, faith at an all-time peak of like, we are with this guy, we're good. Did you see that? We're good. Then they get on a boat, and this happens. Oh, that happens to me sometimes. God answers a prayer, just my faith is at an all-time high, and a day later, I'm like, God, where are you? What happened? And so when we look at this context of Scripture, it's also important when we're asking the question of what did it mean to the people that originally heard it, that when they were on this boat and literally fearing for their life, they thought that they were going to die, that many of these men were fishermen. So it wasn't just like some random guy jumped in a boat and got in a storm. These guys knew what they were doing. And actually, a myth at the time was that if you were out in a storm and you saw a ghost walking to you on the water, that that's like 3, 2, 1, you're done. So when they look out and they see Jesus walking across the water, they're thinking, we're done. That's the ghost. He's coming. And so when we look at this scripture, it's important to understand the context. So sometimes we just ask the question of what did it mean to the original hearers? And so then if we finish that thought, they think they're going to die. But now, in fact, they see that it is Jesus. And that not only does Jesus speak and immediately calm the waves and the ocean, but that, I don't know about you, but have you seen anybody walk on water? I haven't yet. I go to the pool, haven't seen it happen. Go to the lake, haven't seen it happen. Jesus is revealing his divinity, his power. You saw me feed over here. He's just like blowing the disciples' mind over and over and over. A couple pieces of bread, fed 5,000 people. A storm, yes, I can walk on water. I can calm a storm. So to the original hearers, they're seeing the Messiah. They're seeing their Lord and their Savior. The next question that we can ask ourselves is there a timeless principle in this portion of Scripture? Is there a timeless principle in this portion of Scripture? And we read this portion of Scripture, we see that in the midst of a storm, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of fear, what happened with Peter? When his eyes were on Jesus, he was walking in the miraculous. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, those fears, that anxiety, they overwhelmed him. So for you and I, it's that element of, it doesn't matter what is going on in my life, if I will keep my eyes on Jesus, I'm going to be okay. If I will keep my eyes on God, I will be okay. And then the third question is simply, how can I apply it to my life? How can I apply it to my life? So if you're in that moment, if you're in a season where there's chaos, obstacles, different things, maybe you need to ask yourself, am I applying this principle that God is always with me? Am I applying this principle that God wants to calm the storms in my life? Am I applying these principles? And so this is how we take just, what was it? We read 14, 22 through 32. 10 verses. We read 10 verses, and by asking a couple questions, we begin to learn God's character. We begin to learn God's plan for us, and we begin to begin equipped to actually apply it and have it change our lives. And so this is a very simple way to not only read the Bible, but actually have it transform your life. You know, for me as I'm the business manager here at Oasis and had the privilege of being a part of what helped us purchase that building and now renovate that building and do those things. And man, there were days I felt so over my head. I'm like, God, what are we doing? Are you sure you have me? But I look at this scripture and maybe similar to how Peter felt sometimes, I'm just reminded that God is with me. And if God is with me, then I can be strong. If God is with me, then I can be courageous. If God is with me, then I can be bold. I'm not bold because of who I am. I'm bold because I'm God's. Because God says I am his son. And so that is how we take the word of God and we make it more than just words. We actually begin to apply it to our lives. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much that you have taken the time to give us your word. And God, I pray that it would continue to strengthen and transform our lives. And Lord, I pray that this week, as a church that we are either falling in love with the Bible for the first time, or we are getting a new hunger and a new passion for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray even in this moment, just as we have our heads bowed in prayer, God, that you are just speaking to the hearts of each person, that each person knows what it is that you want them to apply to their life. And as we have our heads bowed, I just want to extend an invitation.
Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.